our final speaker for this section, I'd like to give a warm welcome to Martin Barnes, Senior Curator, Photographs at the Victoria and Albert Museum. Hi, Martin.
So I'd like to thank Paul and the format for creating this important forum for discussion today, and to thank you all in advance for your willingness to be part of this discussion and to look at the direct and wider issues that are raised by the transfer of the collections. And we're all here for different reasons, but I think what connects us is one same reason, which is that we all care about photography and believe in its importance in the cultural life of the UK. And my colleagues and I are here. Susanna Brown and Marta Weiss are here with me today, curators of photographs. And we're here to be part of that discussion and to explain and explore something of the V&A's position and context. We've got a lot of work to do. We're here to collaborate and to discuss and to listen. Things are still being worked out. And I'm painfully aware of the effect that the funding cuts have had on the cultural institutions and their staff, especially outside of London. The changing financial resources have led to a shift in institutional agendas, and the National Media Museum and its curators have carried out brilliant work over the years, but we're now faced with a change. So what can the V&A and those who support photography offer as the Science Museum Group and the National Media Museum has decided to transfer a part of its collection to the V&A. The V&A's purpose is to be a place that generates lifelong learning and creative inspiration, and it has both a national and an international remit for the collections in its care. Photography entered the collections from the start as part of the South Kensington Museum. That museum was the first in the world to have a photography exhibition. And the South Kensington Museum was a forerunner of the V&A, the Science Museum, and the Natural History Museum. This is a slide which shows the joint exhibition of the Photographic Society of London and the French Photographic Society. The Photographic Society of London eventually, soon after, became the Royal Photographic Society collections. So that genesis was there in South Kensington. And the South Kensington Museum, which combined all these different materials, existed up until 1908, when it was split to form the core of the Science Museum collections. And at that point, photographs were thought to example good examples of photographic processes and techniques became the core of the Science Museum collections. And it's exciting for me to think that the transfer of this collection will reunite some of those items which were split in 1908. So, for example, we'll be able to pair some historic negatives with the prints that we have in the V&A collections, and there'll be many, many discoveries that we make by putting these two collections side by side that are tremendous for scholarship. Too much has been made, I think, about the oversimplistic art-science division in the context of the transfer. The V&A was designated in 1977 the National Collection of the Art of Photography, not the National Collection of Art Photography. So we take the art of photography to have a very broad definition. The V&A has placed photography in a rich and varied set of contexts, both within and outside of fine art. For example, the way we might look at daguerreotypes that illustrate historic dress as much as the photograph made by William Kilburn here. But of course, we also collect squarely fine art practice, which exists in many forms, both in prints and in books in the museum. So the V&A is concerned with a historically wide range of contrasting and complementary objects in its collections, and objects are at the center of its research agenda. And it's because of this diversity of materials and cultures and geographies covered by the collections that the museum uses different methodologies to suit different research, display, objects, and the displays of the collections. So on the one hand, we have our materials and techniques galleries, such as the photographs gallery that you see here, which we will double in size as quick as we can. And we also incorporate photographs throughout the museum in galleries that deal with different periods and styles. So we look at photographs alongside ceramics and textiles, furniture, glass, paintings and sculpture, and many, many other types of materials. And this deep knowledge about single types of materials and techniques can be brought into dialogue with each other. That also forms the context and the basis for different methodologies of research for temporary exhibitions as well as permanent displays. So the art of photography here encompasses, of course, fine art practice, but it also can include the contexts that the museum is used to dealing with across its collections, such as commercial and social design, graphics, architecture, theatre and performance, fashion, industrial manufacture, books, and digital arts, for example. And it can be enriched through the different research methodologies, social, political, anthropological, literary theory, gender studies, and so forth. And it doesn't exclude, for example, science and technology. And the addition of the Royal Photographic Society collections to the V&A will massively enhance the way that we are able to research and display photography that will make those connections between camera equipment, for example, archival material, prints, negatives, and so forth. I'm very excited about the possibilities we have there. The exhibition program that we generate and the research program that's connected to it, which is also linked to the collecting program, has thematic exhibitions such as the Shadow Catchers show, which was based on a photographic technique. We've dealt with geographical and political exhibition ideas such as the South African photography show, Figures and Fictions, or the exhibition Light from the Middle East. We also produce, of course, monographic exhibitions like Horst, Photographer of Style, which enjoys that connection that we have with fashion. The Captain Linnaeus Tribe exhibition, which also incorporates architectural models, and most recently the Paul Strand exhibition, which includes some of the cameras that Strand owned, the books that he made, and the prints that he made with those cameras. What I'm interested in is how we can make the transferred collections even more accessible than they have been, both physically, digitally, and intellectually. At the V&A, we get about 3.5 million visitors a year, and the photography exhibitions that we do generate between 30,000 and 200,000 visitors per exhibition. Our study rooms are free, they're open 4 days a week, and we get about 35,000 visitors a year. The touring exhibitions that we do outside of London, outside of the V&A, in the last 10 years, there have been 13 of them. They've been to 36 different venues, to 26 different towns and cities outside of London, and they've been seen by a total of more than, well, around about 1.5 million visitors. The V&A plans for a museum in Dundee come to fruition in 2018. And the V&A Purchase Grant Fund, fund administered by the V&A, has given, over the last 10 years, 44 grants that have enabled purchases just short of £500,000 for museums, archives and libraries outside of London. What I'm keen to do is to introduce a digitization program for imaging and cataloguing with a dedicated team that we have at the museum for that when the collections start to arrive, and to look at research and collaboration. We have, in the last few years, appointed two different curators with help from the Art Fund that have worked at Nottingham Castle Museum and are currently at Sheffield Museums. And I'm keen to work more closely with museums outside of London and how we can think about connecting up collections that have connections with V&A holdings with those outside of London. And these have to be genuine connections. They can connect with a research agenda at a museum or a university or with practitioners. We've just opened up a post in connection with Newcastle University to look at the Maurice Broomfield Archive of Industrial Photography we hold at the V&A. And we've signed a deal with Thames and Hudson for a series of publications. You'll hear a bit more today, I'm sure, about the Subject Specialist Network for Photography. And we also just received a grant from the Mellon Foundation to produce a V&A Research Institute, which is to deal with looking at different spaces, different kinds of spaces and structures for integrating collections and visitors, researchers, practitioners and curators. And this is a model that I hope we can in future implement in the way that we look at photography that might combine in one space, gallery, library, print room, teaching space, and discussion forum. And all of that will feed into national working as well as international working. We're working on a new building at the former Olympic site in E20, and the models for those kinds of ways of working are being thought about very seriously and established now. Looking positively at this transfer, it's a logical union, I think, grounded in a tangible historical connection. And it has demonstrable efficiencies of increased access, both digitally, physically, and intellectually. And we have, I think, innovative plans for the future with collaborative aspirations. So we look forward to the support of the photographic community and to continue this debate as it unfolds and to collaborate with colleagues at the Science Museum Group and throughout the UK. So I'm looking forward to the discussion this afternoon, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Martin. I'd now like to invite all four speakers to come and sit up here. And we might just put the lights up a little bit, if that's okay.